feline with a death wish. E right didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, I'm destined.
Welcome into the show. And of course, the Pandoric conversations continue. But something popped up this morning with John and Lance. I had a guest on, Bruce Williams. And, you know, we're at this time of the year with the offseason officially in play that the rumors will fly, whether they have any real sourcing or not. We never know. Who do you trust? Do you trust a guy, obviously, like Shams? Are you locked in on what Evan Siddery has to say, who seems like an aggregator? Do you trust Jake Fisher? There are a lot of guys you can decide who to trust, or maybe you just have the notification ready for when Shams breaks something. Maybe Chris Haynes will give us something. I don't know. Well, Roosh Williams earlier today suggested that James Harden was still in play for the Rockets, suggesting with the Rockets' need for a point guard, that possibly instead of Fred VanVleet, who we all assumed is coming back, because he and the Rockets agreed to push back his decision date on his team option because they were in need of flexibility, that a player out of L.A. with the player option and James Harden could decide, you know what, Houston's got a real shot to win a title. I want to play with my good buddy KD. I don't know how close KD and James are still after the Brooklyn stuff where it was apparent that James Harden was quitting on that team because he wanted his way out. Do NBA players get over stuff like that when it became like an embarrassing situation and KD bore the brunt? As much as James Harden like quit on that team, that's a KD joint. Everyone puts what happened there on him, even though he was the one who knocked down a shot that could have put him in the Eastern Conference Finals if his foot wasn't on the line. James, I think, had a hamstring. He played in that final game, limping around, ineffective. No difference than any other James Harden performance, even when he's healthy, for the most part, in a clutch situation. But I thought we were done with that. And this is why I say, when you hear a name and it comes from someone, you just never know who to trust. Can I see that being a thing here again? It would be probably a slap in the face to everyone who thought the Rockets were now operating a certain way. Because Ime Udoka being here would suggest, hey, this is a different way of doing business. But who was an assistant coach on that Brooklyn team when James was there? Now, Ime Udoka was given credit for not allowing the James Harden deal to happen when he first got here. But if we're accelerating the window to try to win a title, is another veteran point guard who, as much as there is a lot of baggage with James here, with the Clippers, he was good until, you know, the inevitable Game 7 happened and he became James again. And that's always the rub with James Harden. Beyond the MVP stuff, beyond what he is even now as a real contributor to a solid basketball team, a guy at points can be the distributor that you want from that position. He's leaned more into being a pass first guard, lead guard now. Helps when you have Kawhi, who was healthy for most of the year in Kawhi terms. But you always have the fear of what pops up when it matters most. And he didn't avoid that even as the second fiddle in any of his other spots. It happened in Philly, it happened in Brooklyn, and it happened in L.A. last year. So I don't normally take a stance on anything. I'm like, whatever, do what you want. I let people live how they want to live. But from a position of no power, I say no to Harden. I don't want to have those conversations anymore. I don't want to live through that anymore because we all know how it'll end. He'll be deferring the entire time, and Kevin Durant's looking around going, again? Again with this? So I don't know if that's a real thing. I don't know if it's possible or if that's just the fantasy of a big-time Rocket fan who covers the team and thinks James could be available and believes he's an improvement on Fred VanVleet. I don't care. Stay away, mostly for everyone's sanity, because if I have to watch people delude themselves into thinking this year it'll be different, I may have just stopped talking Rockets. Enough. We're done. That window is over. We move on. Don't go back to the X.
That's what it is. That's the perfect. I was thinking that it is literally someone getting back with their ex.
Don't do it. Like, I mean, the Blazers are kind of doing that because they had Drew Holiday for like 2 days or whatever.
They're just addicted to making terrible trades involving Drew Holiday. Yeah, they just love it.
They did.
How many Drew Holiday trades can we lose?
Yeah,
we're up to three.
Yeah, let's do it again. But for the Rock, if you missed it late last night, Drew Holiday was traded. Back to the Blazers. He never played a minute for them.
No,
but
he was on them for like 5 days.
Yeah, before they traded him.
Between the Dame
Brooklyn
trade and the...
To Boston.
Brogdon trade, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they got back Denny Avdija, which is not a bad player, but it was a multiple-team trade. But for the Rockets, as far as they're concerned, I hope that's just, like, I won't even say delusion. As I said, the fantasy or the projection of what could be.
Yeah, the, hey, this is possible.
Yeah, not something that is actually based in reality, because we've had enough.
Yeah, I like my point guard to show up in the last three games of the series.
Yeah, Fred, for all his faults, and we chronicle them, showed up. Almost the only offensive weapon who did, particularly on the perimeter, in that series.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't want this. Like, no thanks.
No,
I'm good.
I'm out.
It's like when Hollywood just keeps rebooting a like terrible franchise, mm-hmm. or like keeps making sequels to terrible franchise. You're like, I'm good.
Yeah,
I don't need this.
As I like Mila Jovovich, enough Resident Evil movies.
Yeah, just like why is this keep coming back up? No, we're good.
Yeah.
The Brooklyn connection with Ime and Kevin Durant. And now James Harden. It would also be very funny, considering that like the Brooklyn Nets failed epically and were a soap opera for 2 years straight. But all the people involved in making it a soap opera, and Ime wasn't really involved, but they all still get along. They're all still like, yeah, love this guy. Would love to play with him again. Like that to me is also just so. It's not unreasonable. I guess I could see it happening, but it would be very funny if those three guys, I mean, are they all on good terms? Is everyone involved with the Brooklyn Nets on good terms except for Joe Tsai? Except the guy who had to pay for that?
Did they dole all the money out to make that happen?
yeah. All the, you know, Steve Nash is probably still like, yeah, I like KD.
That's generally how it works. We all, like, dive deep into a disaster like that and go, there must be hard feelings everywhere. And the guy's like, nah, we like hooping together, whatever.
Kevin Durant's
not a big deal.
Honestly, didn't care that Kyrie Irving like didn't show up for 2/3 of a year.
The players are far more understanding of what their teammates do than we ever are. We're like, you let them down. Yeah. How could you do it? You let us all down.
Title. What the
Candy's
hell?
Like, look, man, all good. You didn't want to be here. It's fine. We're good here.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. He left me out to dry, hanging out to dry like in a quarter of the regular season. So be it.
Yeah. You know.
It is what it is.
It is.
That is how I feel like that's how most players operate. When it becomes a discussion about their teammates and other players, it is what it is. Just a shrug of the shoulders.
It's a business.
Yeah, exactly. We're all getting
his business was not showing up. It's a business.
Yeah.
All right.
And I got some things I like to do that he may not like, and it is what it is. We'll keep it moving.
At the end of the day, like Kevin Durant's like, yeah, that contract where I made like $40 million a year, yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay if you didn't.
That goes back to LeBron after he lost the finals his first year in Miami. His post series presser was like, "Hey, LeBron, all the haters, how do you think they're doing?" Like, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they still got to go live their lives, and I'm me. I'm still gonna be me, and that's kind of how it feels like all NBA players respond to bad things happening to them, unless it's an injury. We'll get into Haliburton, and he tweeted out a missive about missing the opportunity to play with these guys. But a lot of times it's like, sure, I mean, it sucks for you, but I'm cool. I mean, I'll get over this pretty quickly. You know, who I'm going home to, where I'm going. I got
what car I'm getting in after the game.
I got a trip to a place you've never heard of this offseason. You guys keep talking about Cancun. We don't go to Cancun. Kind of,
that is true.
Yeah, why do you think we spend our time in Cancun?
That'd be very funny if players got insulted by the fact that we're like,
yeah,
you go to Cancun, like, not Spring Breakers, dude. I am. We're millionaires.
You know, losing in the Western Conference Finals hurts. But what's more insulting is you suggesting I'm actually ever thinking about Cancun.
Yeah.
Once that stems back, I think, back to when the Lakers in the 90s. I think they're out of practice.
Yeah, 1-2-3 Cancun.
Nick Van Exel was on the team, and they were getting their doors blown off by the Jazz, and they knew they were done. 1-2-3 Cancun. That's done for. Now we're talking about
Turks and Caicos.
1-2-3 Maldives.
Yeah.
That's what they're about now. Okay, I don't know who that caller is. That caller called in during the previous show. I don't have a name. We'll welcome you if you still want to talk about anything. I don't know what you want to talk about. I guess we'll try to find that out. If you guys want to get in on the Kevin Durant stuff, and the possibility, and I won't even say the possibility, the projection of a potential James Harden reunion, because it's not out of the realm of possibility, considering you have a team option on your point guard and James Harden has a player option currently with the Clippers. So, seems far-fetched, but you just never know. In a world where you can trade and get Kevin Durant for Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks in the 10th pick overall and a boatload of second-rounders, you got plenty of assets to kind of acquire anyone who's available. That's where the Rockets stand. They're in a great place. Rafael Stone keeps doing a good job. Now, Kevin Durant's part of the finishing of this build. Maybe there's another piece, even if it isn't James Harden. So we'll get to that if you want to discuss that. We'll get into some bad news. If you had any hopes of Jeremy Pena coming back, or at least signing a long-term extension or even reaching for agency and being an Astro. It's not bad news for me because I never assumed Jeremy Pena, once his time came, would be an Astro. But there is some news that suggests it's going to get more difficult for the Astros if they want to make that happen. So we'll get to that and some other things as we're just getting started here on the show. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. We will be back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Okay, let's get to a couple calls. If you want to join them, 713-780-3776 is the number. Keith called in on the previous show. Never was able to get in, I believe, but now he's back. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale, thanks for having me on. Yeah, wasn't able to get in on the last show, but I think there is a possibility, hear me out, post-Rockets KD trade, that the Rockets are not done yet. They're going to try to pair KD with another big fish, and I think there's a way that it could potentially happen. Hear me out. So the Rockets can still keep Fred VanVleet, the point guard, Amen Thompson, and Sengun. They can keep those three. They have Steven Adams, obviously, re-signed. They have Jeff Green as an assistant coach on the roster, and they have KD. They will trade. I think they can make this move happen. Jabari Smith, Aaron Holiday, Jock Landale, Reed Shepard, Cam Whitmore, a flurry of picks, and Tari Eason to Milwaukee for Giannis. I think that can happen, and I think you can send those six players out, keep your big three, your big four, with Adams and Green, fill out the roster. I think that works.
Keith just used ESPN trade machine on the show.
Add all the not best three players, everyone who isn't.
Yeah, he decided to
Durant, Shingun,
bring what he put in the Dom. Trade machine on this show. I will say
salute to Keith. I thought for sure that was heading into a Ben Simmons direction or a Russell Westbrook.
The Carson Wentz of NBA players.
Markel Fultz is still available.
So I think Milwaukee on principle tells you to bleep off.
On principle.
On principle. Wait a minute. We got to trade Giannis, and you're not giving us one of your best players? They're telling you to go F yourself. They're hanging up if they're not hanging up the phone, they only hang up the phone after they say that. Like some people say, that would warrant a hang up immediately.
Yeah, instant hang up.
I'm going to tell you to bleep off and then hang up the phone. They cannot leave the proceedings without taking one of your best players. even with all the stuff you're throwing at them. Appreciate it. Feels unlikely. And look, after watching four rounds of these playoffs and watching the physical toll it takes on an entire roster, whether you're young or older, we saw the Achilles injuries happen. Hell, Jaylen Brown, he was hurt from the regular season. He had to have off-season surgery as well. If he hasn't had it yet, I believe he will have it. It's tough. Now, the Rockets don't have the wear and tear that the Celtics have, but you need probably 8 to 9 guys that you can play in a playoff series, that can play in any series, and they need to be able to make it through. It took to the final game, although he was hurt previously, but the star, if not the star, but let's say the breakout star of the playoffs, Tyrese Haliburton, couldn't make it. He pushed it. He wanted to play in Game 7, and his body broke down on him. So if you're decimating your depth for Giannis, I understand. Everyone's like, go all in. It's Giannis. The give and take of that is, what do you have left? Because if it's Giannis, KD, who else would be remaining on this
trade? Giannis, KD, Şengün, Thompson, Jeff Green, Steven Adams.
That's cool because you didn't have to trade Amen or Şengün, but where's your wing depth? Where's your guard depth? Your front court, cool.
you got power forward covered.
Yeah.
And center.
And center. But you don't have any guard depth. You don't have any real wing depth. And these playoffs have shown you need it to make it through.
Can I just say that after the Kevin Durant trade, to me, it's like having a full meal. And I just don't have the appetite.
You don't have the appetite for this again?
For just any, like, trade conference. Like, what do the Rockets do next? I'm just like, can we get 2 days to...
Can we make the deal official first? Can we get to July 6th?
Not even July, like, June 30th? Like, can you get me...
Can we get through the week?
Can I get to
Monday?
Can I get to Monday before I'm like, all right, now what are we... you know... Dante Exum, what are we doing at the minimum?
Well, that's the fun part of not having a draft pick. You don't have to care about a Rockets transaction.
That, I mean,
you can just either you watch the draft or you don't.
So glad,
but you don't have to worry about how Will Riley fits in to the mold. Or
I don't have to have an opinion on Carter Bryant.
Yeah, Cedric Cowart, who's a fast riser, is he someone that can fit into the Rockets and play right away as a knockdown shooter? That.
I can't have.
Yeah, it's like the kicker from Pitt whose name was Blewett. Understood.
I just can't do it.
What about Coward? Coward. The D is silent. Would you be fine with that?
Bill Cowher.
It was spelled, but the D was silent.
Yeah. Bill Cowher.
Yeah, it's tough.
I can deal with that.
He's got to overcome that name. That's rough to be named Coward and then be dependent on to make big shots.
And then like a team has to be like introducing our lottery pick who's going to be a key part of our future. Mr. Coward.
Now we're just going to call him Sed. Yeah, it's a tough thing to overcome. It's not great for branding if your last name is Coward.
I'll even take Cowherd.
That's not
like
great
for Collins.
I don't know if
nephew.
That's great for branding either at this point, but Coward certainly not. But that's one of those guys who we don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
The Rockets may be taking a chance on because they need a shooter because they don't have a pick. They made the trade.
Never had to watch Draft Express videos. I'm good. I don't even know if they still make videos.
You're in a better situation than me. I'm digging deep on Walter Clayton Jr. right now.
What is that?
Because he's projected at 20. Worked out a couple
20
times.
20 is
he's that's worked tough. Out a couple times, canceled some workouts.
Oh,
maybe
he's
got a promise. Now I gotta dive deep on the Florida national champion who broke the Cougs' hearts late in that game. All right, let's get to La Salsa. He wants to talk about Harden. Considering the moniker, let's see if it's serious or not. What's up, La Salsa?
Hey, there is a slime in the ice machine, Dilly Billy.
It's not my name. It's not Wayne Delchefino, but go on.
Hey, I want to apologize for my K-Doc reference like a week ago. I had lyrics in my head, and that's just the song that I was thinking about. So didn't mean to do that. But anyways, I do not, and I think I speak for 70%, maybe 85% of the H-Town, do not want Harden back. And I wish people would stop talking about this crap. No. And that's all I got, man. Later.
I would agree. We've moved on. At least I hope everyone has. You've got a good roster that you should like, and you've added You've added a remarkable piece, particularly at the cost that it took to get Kevin Durant. Isn't that enough? Do we need to bring another OKC player back? Hey, what's Russell Westbrook up to? You want to bring them all back?
Oh.
Let's bring them all back together on Houston. Since you've all had them, you've had them all.
Yeah,
you just bring them all back to Houston and see how it goes.
What's Andre Roberson
over a decade later? I don't know what Roberson's up to right now. I think he
had like a pretty bad knee injury.
Yeah, he did. It really short circuited his career. I think at last check, he was dating some NBA influencer type media member, something like that.
Okay,
you know no one has just one job.
Yeah,
you got to have what
blurred
you,
lines.
Yeah, all I don't know exactly. Reporter, sideline person.
She seems to go on vacation.
Influencer.
A lot.
Yeah, and she played basketball, so there's a lot of stuff going on. Well, look, it's cool. Cute girl who can shoot a basketball. Stuff like that. All this stuff is combined.
Oh, wow.
Stuff like that, yeah. She actually recently lost her job. One of her jobs because she was she made the mistake of working for the Big Three but tweeting about Caitlin Clark during the middle of the Big Three game.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Can't do that. So they
should have been tweeting about Lance Stephenson or
Michael Beasley going at it. Instead, she was retweeting and talking about Caitlin Clark.
Can't do that.
And that was not good for the Big Three, and they had to let her go.
Tell me what Joe Johnson's up to.
Yeah, let's see what ISO Joe's doing. What's he cooking?
I think he's still cooking.
Oh, he's still – ISO Joe can still cook, particularly in three-and-three basketball. Yeah, Harden, not into it, but
– No.
I don't make the decision, so.
I do appreciate Roosh for, I don't know, giving us a topic.
It did cause people – and by people, I mean
– catnip.
And I mean – by people, I mean Lance and John to lose it. What? No!
Yeah, it
feels icky.
It does.
To revisit
there is just something unseemly about
it. That could be a possibility. Hopefully, it's just a thing, a floating out there in ether that we don't have to worry about.
I will say though, there will be just like I don't know if it's Schadenfreude or dopamine hit, just knowing that the next day after that. After that notification hits our phones,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll be doing the Paul Gallant show with Paul, having to welcome back James Harden to the city.
Is there something
It wouldn't be worth it, but...
Is there a Paul Harden thing that I don't
violently
know
against Harden.
Okay. Well, gotcha. Just a regular old keep that guy away from any team I'm watching and playing and rooting for.
He's gotten better, but he used to be like an insta-rant is bringing up James Harden.
Oh. Well, then... Maybe I move in a different direction.
Exactly. That's
a possibility.
That's why, like, it's my favorite team. I would not want it.
Understood.
But, yeah.
But just for
funny.
The – just to watch Paul lose it.
It'd be very
It'd be
funny.
Pretty funny. Pretty funny. Okay. We'll discuss that if it ever comes to be. Hopefully we don't have to. All right. Let's go to break here. When we come back, we'll talk about the guy who's currently on one of our favorite teams but may be departing. And if you didn't think that was likely before, you may think differently now. We'll get to that news, and certainly we have plenty of other stuff to get to. So if you want to get in, that number, 713-780-3776. Me and Sean will be back. So Jeremy Pena hired Scott Boras. That's the news that, if you're on social media, struck people as, okay, that's bad. That's bad. So... Jeremy Pena at 27 years old. He'll be 28 at the end of the season. He'll have two more arbitration years, and then he'll be an unrestricted free agent. There's, you know, I heard people say, it's not all bad, you know. Scott Boras has done deals with the Astros and even signed guys before they hit free agency. I don't think it's happened when they were 28. That's generally happened earlier to get them more money to avoid some arbitration years, I believe. This one feels like what any player on what Jeremy Pena's trajectory, if you consider what he's done this year, would do. You go get the big name. You let everybody out there know once 2028 hits and you're 30 years old, it's time to cash in. And I don't care if it was Jeremy Pena or if Lee Steinberg started doing baseball deals and Jeremy Pena was one of his guys. Again, I think Lee Steinberg, at least I know at one point in his comeback, he had two. I'm not sure if he's got baseball clients right now. But I don't care who it is. Name a big name free agent. I don't think Jeremy Pena was going to return as an Astro. So the Scott Boras stuff doesn't shake me up at all.
That's where I landed to, where I don't think it changes the probability that he resigns with the Astros or has a long-term deal at some point with the Astros. It's still probably like, I don't know, 10%, 15%, like where it's just like maybe it happens, but there's no like evidence that would suggest that it's likely or even, close to being talked about. Like half of these free agents, the Astros don't even like put together a real offer for. So it's, I don't know. I think Jeremy Pena will be somewhere else after his service time ends.
Yeah, this is full, like Boras now represents Pena. He has Altuve, one of the guys who certainly has remained.
Two deals.
McCullers
right?
as well. Yeah. So deals have been done. And Hunter Brown is also represented by...
That's not happening.
Yeah. Hunter Brown's also represented by Scott Boras. So
what it is that there's a certain price point to me where the Astros are just like, no way.
Yes. And Pena and Brown as what he's trending to becoming.
Yeah.
That's a price point. The Astros ain't got no interest
we'll
in,
see
in
how
matching.
The Pena thing.
And Pena, is it 1 year of this or is he in the middle of turning into a player that far outseeds what he has been unless we're talking about the 2022 playoffs?
If he does this, if he has this season, what, two more times before he leaves? No chance.
Wrap it up. Do the Dodgers have a shortstop issue in two seasons? Yeah, put them on the board as one of the teams.
Yeah.
Yankees, all the traditional teams.
Yeah, the teams. Again, there's like six teams that will sign guys to a $200 million free agent contract.
Yeah.
So those guys.
Yeah, if he continues to be this. So enjoy it this year, next year, and the year after. That's what? Two plus seasons of what could be great baseball from him.
Enjoy the memes, all right?
Yeah.
Year one got you a World Series, all
right? And think of it as you got the best of Jeremy Pena. From 30 to 37, probably not going to be the type of player you're going to miss that much, right? Not at his price point. Yeah, maybe from 32 to 37, 33. Maybe 30 to 33 is still a really good player.
I was going to say, early 30s.
Early 30s. Maybe 30
Moves
to 30.
To third base.
Yeah. Extend that run. But you know, the last 4 years, you're gonna be laughing at the team who signed him, no matter what he does in years one through three of his new deal. So take heart.
Yeah,
you got 3 years remaining. You got a World Series MVP out of it, and we move on.
Yeah, and at that point, you're like, thank God we don't have that money on our books. That way, we can sign a 36-year-old first baseman.
Now you're bringing up the bad stuff.
Now you're bringing up. How is Pete Alonso going to be?
Now you're bringing up the dark side of how the Astros try to mitigate losses. Now you're bringing up the realities. Now hit me again. That's not fun. Yeah, the Christian Walkers.
When's Matt Olson going to be a free agent again?
Well, cut it out. Maybe you trade Pena and you get a Cam Smith and a Paredes back. You don't know. They've done it once.
They've done it once now.
They won't do it with Fromber because they're still competing. So they're gonna lose him for nothing.
Yeah.
But this is the business your owner has chosen, and to his credit,
the life we chose.
To his credit, he's been right on these.
He has. I mean, I don't even know what the miss would be.
I mean, Gerrit Cole's been a good pitcher for the Yankees. He just hurt. He did have a major injury.
Yeah. Yeah. Cole. I always forget about Cole being one of those guys because I just think of the. You know,
the homegrown guy.
Yeah, the farm system guy. Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see with Tucker. Tucker's like the only one that seems to be, there's like meat on the bone of like, oh, this actually could come back to haunt them.
Yeah, I mean.
I guess.
Bregman as well, but Paredes, the way he's performed, it lessens the blow. And he's played a good third base, so you're not missing much. And plus, as you said, Bregman ain't even available for the Red Sox anymore. We'll see. When he's back. But the news, while Scott Boras feels like Darth Vader when it comes to this stuff, like you hear the Imperial March when he comes around, it was going to be the case where Peña was going to command what the Astros weren't willing to meet. So I'm not discomforted by it at all. It's to be expected.
Can I think of him as the Emperor, not Darth Vader? Darth Vader's too cool for Scott Boras.
Okay. So he's Palpatine.
Yeah. And he's the one corrupting and perverting these great players.
So all of these guys,
turning them into monsters.
So all these guys were Anakins?
Yes.
And then he turns them into
Darth Vader.
Yes, and you know, Palpatine has had other apprentices as well, so they don't all have to be Darth Vader.
Oh, one of them, Darth Maul.
Yeah, which Astro that he's corrupted, as you say, is Bregman Anakin, and or who would it be? Was Garrett Cole who was the chosen one? Altuve's the chosen one, but he
Correa.
Wasn't able. Altuve. Kind of the chosen one,
yeah,
but he wasn't corrupted, so we can't use him. Correa, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, big, strapping shortstop.
Yeah.
Felt you had all the tools, was a leader.
More man than machine now.
Was the emotional hub of this franchise for years.
Doesn't he have like a plate in his foot or something? That's why the Mets didn't want to pay him.
I think after surgery, he woke up and screamed, no!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But, yeah, Correa probably fits the mold the best of the guys who've left.
Yeah.
True.
I guess Bregman would be Darth Maul.
Will there be a redemption arc for Correa where he returns? Or is he always going to be an Astros Force ghost?
I think he'll...
He probably
will happen.
Should be the Astros.
He'll be in, like, the documentary.
You think he retires as an Astro or something, comes back for a day,
yeah,
and signs a deal and retires as an Astro.
Or when they make the sign stealing documentary, he'll you know, toe the party line, and it's like, all right, he's still an Astro.
Yeah, I can see that happening. So somehow we've turned Scott Boras into Palpatine, not Darth.
I just can't have him be Darth Vader.
Yeah, okay, you think he's not cool enough? That's fine. But Correa hasn't done enough to be Darth Vader since he's left.
None of these guys.
Yeah, they haven't. Obi-Wan's been right.
George Springer?
Not even.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan, Jim Crane's been right. He's let these guys go, and they've never come back to haunt them. They've been better off in most cases. So until they meet one of these guys in the playoff series and he wrecks them, none of them can be
Is
Darth
Luno
Vader.
Yoda then?
Qui-Gon.
Okay.
Yoda, no.
Because he is kind of marooned on an island.
Well, he might be. Maybe
Mexican soccer or Spanish soccer.
You might be right. He might be Yoda and
chilling.
And I don't know who AJ Hinch is. Mon Mothma.
Yeah, just one of the ineffectual leaders that let the galaxy fall.
Morgana.
Sure.
Bail Morgana, maybe.
Yeah.
Mothma did stuff after in the rebellion. Morgana wound up being blown up on Alderaan or whatever planet he was blown up on. All right, we'll go to break with that. We went from baseball guys to very nerdy guys in a matter of minutes. Well, that's the show. All right, we'll go to break with that. But before I do that, let's talk about Monument Chevrolet. You want to go there if you want a great experience. Maybe you didn't enjoy the last 3 minutes. Understood. But if you want a great experience, you go to Monument Chevrolet, and that's where you get a great car. They're great when it comes to Chevys. They're great when it comes to service. So if you want something new, it's there for you. If you want something pre-owned, it's there for you. If you want something for your business because you are starting your fleet, it's there for you too. They have a wide selection of vehicles in all those categories, and they'll put you in the right car thanks to the great people at Monument Chevrolet. You step on that lot, you're family. But before you get there, check out what they have to offer at monumentchevrolet.com. Check out the inventory, whether it's something like a Silverado or maybe you want an EV. It's all there. You check out all the deals they have to offer. And then step on the lot and realize that the deals don't change. You are not tricked once you get there. They're going to treat you like you're a member of their family and walk you through the process and make sure you get into the best car possible for yourself. They've been in business for over 50 years, so they've been doing great deals for great people for a long time. Why don't you become part of that as well? MonumentChevrolet.com is the website. They're off of Beltway 8 and 225 in Pasadena, And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We can get to this before we go to break, since we're up against it. I did not know that Fanatic Fest was such a big deal. I don't even remember it before this year. I just don't have any memory of it being a thing. Was it? Or is this the first year of it? I don't know. But either way, you have a lot of people, a lot of pro stars there. And one of them was C.J. Stroud. He was doing an interview with a sit-down with Kay Adams. Kay Adams was doing a lot of interviewing of Houston stars, whether they be ones we know or current ones like C.J. or future ones, since he isn't even a Rocket yet like KD. She talked to him about the move to Houston. But C.J. was asked about the differences between year one and year two, and even some of the failing that went on in year two. And here's CJ with Kay Adams at Fanatic Fest.
CJ, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Last year, you've talked a lot about it. You faced some adversity, which I'm sure you grew from. We've talked a lot about it. What is the lesson from last season?
That's a great question. I think for me, something that I've learned is in life is you can't be scared of failure. And, I mean, the only chance you have to be successful is to try. And sometimes that comes with successes, sometimes that comes with failures. I think the more that I fail and still, do well in those failures, the more confidence I gain that, like, it'll become easier, kind of like what Eli was saying. So last year was very, very, very helpful for me in my my development, I think every year, you're playing against different defensive coordinators, different schemes, and they're studying your tape from the years prior on how to beat you and how to twist the pocket and how to roll coverage. And they're just doing things to throw you off. And the more you can focus on you by still, making sure that you're taking care of the football and knowing what they're doing, honestly, you can do anything that you really want. I mean, really all of us, Peyton, Eli, you've seen them be great for so many years. That's what they did year and year and after. So I know us three, we're trying to do the same thing. So just learn from your mistakes and, just really get better from those. And that's been my mindset.
You know, as much as there seems to be optimism because you have a new play caller and someone who's going to give CJ more responsibility, at least that's being reported. I remember the day, Sean, when people pointed to continuity as a reason a quarterback will get better. Now, if you got to fire a guy, you got to fire a guy. So if Slowick had to go, he had to go. This is not me saying keep him around just for consistency's sake. But are we taking into account the first year of a quarterback in a new system and what that might mean for his performance overall? Because there's just this belief by some that new play caller, new face, CJ's going to get better. That's not always how hires are positioned. It's a lot, well, can we really make a determination after year one when it's his second coordinator in three seasons? Doesn't he need more time with Nick Caley? Of course, all those narratives will be determined by the actual play on the field. But I can see it not getting off to a great start simply because it's a first-time play caller and a new system for the quarterback, even if they're working towards something good.
Yeah.
Do we believe that
like week one,
or should we believe it's going to get off to a good start early just because it's a new face whose name isn't Bobby Slowick? So I'm interested to see, as much as CJ seems very contemplative of what happened last year, if there's such a learning curve because you're operating with a new play caller and new receivers. Like, sure, Nico Collins, that's your dude, understood. But the rest of your wide receiver core are guys you've never played with, in at least in competitive situations. So I do think there could be a learning curve, but I do think the quarterback has the right perspective about what the first 2 years of his career have been. He kind of understands, look, there's kind of this give and take about, particularly when you're young, and a quarterback of how your career is going to go. And now that the defenses have adjusted, what do the Texans and CJ have to adjust to those? And at some point, you hope that there are no adjustments that can be made just because you've got a guy who has complete control of everything he's doing and a good system around him that no matter what you do, the quarterback, if not the play caller, has an answer for it just because he's so advanced as a football player. So that was CJ at Fanatic Fest, which, once again, had never heard of until this year. But it's a fest.
Yeah.
And everybody was there.
It's not the Michael Rubin White party.
No.
That's
I've heard of that.
In a couple weeks.
Yeah, I've heard. Now,
is this like the thing you have to do to get the invite?
Into the party? Well, we know.
Because Kevin Hart was there.
True.
Stroud.
Tom Brady. The Mannings were there. Yeah, KD was there. So
it seems like it's like the, hey, listen.
Do this thing for me, and then you get an invite. But we know CJ was taking time away from all the noise. It wasn't popping out in a lot of places. Now he's got business to do, so he's got to be at Fanatic Fest.
And Michael Rubin.
It's Michael Rubin.
That's one of his boys.
So does CJ make an appearance at the White Party?
I think he does.
You think he's there? There are some things you don't turn down.
No.
No matter what you're doing to get ready for your third year.
Like -300 favorite to be at the White Party.
Okay. We'll see. CJ's like, look, not doing podcasts. Right. Let me show up to the White Party. I've done all my – hey, we're not
– There's no phone.
Still weeks away.
Yeah, there's no phones in there, I think. I don't know.
Maybe they should make that rule. Well, what they have
– I feel like they do the like drone shot of the party.
The official photographer who is under some lockdown NDA and can never say anything about anything unless they want to lose.
About what he saw Stephon Diggs do at this party.
That's one name you could throw out there, possibly. Stephon
Diggs. I think just given recent events.
Yeah, he'll be with Cardi B.
Or we've seen him on video.
He'll be with Cardi B. Whether at the White Party or someplace else. Whether at the White Party or someplace else. And maybe you learn a lesson. If there's anyone in the vicinity with a recording device, you keep the substances in your pocket. That's all. I feel like this is not me making a value judgment on what he was allegedly consuming.
No.
There are just some questions about what you do and don't do.
Yeah. Hey,
can record.
It's year one of a new system for Stephon Diggs, too. Whether that's the Patriot system, whether that's the Cardi B system, whatever you want to take that as, it's year one for Stephon Diggs.
Yep. And sure, an entire locker room said they wanted him to have nothing to do with their sister. But why?
I'm a great guy.
Exactly.
I'm actually a great guy.
Yeah. If the first time I said it wasn't enough to convince you, let me say it again.
Well, nobody want me to do this, is it?
Not in that Vikings locker room. And everyone in that room, Harrison Smith's like, see what I meant.
Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, told you. Dalvin Cook. Look, you are a great guy, but not with my sister.
Yeah, Adam Thielen.
Look, guys, we
love the guy.
I am not a man who has friends who would ever date my sister because she doesn't live in this country. But you know there's some guys out there where you're like, not you. Even some of your best buddies. Not you. Everyone knows that guy who you love him.
Is he a great guy?
You think he is. But then
you
draw a line when it comes to how great he is and with a woman you care about. Wait a minute.
Yeah. The reason I think he's a great guy
is the reason
different skill set.
Exactly. Look, some guys are deep threats. Some guys are route runners. You're a great route runner, but you might not be someone I want to send on a go route four times a game to make a play down the field. That's all. So, great guy as my friend. Terrible guy as my sister's boyfriend. Who's looking for that from you? Go corrupt some other girl that I don't know. It's kind of the idea sometimes. But I'm sure you'll treat her well. But I need to see it first before I would ever think you would treat my sister well. All right, we'll go to break with that. 713-780-3776 is the number. We're done with hour one. We'll be back with hour two when we get back. ESPN.